Hi, this is Lucy from Quebec City, and you're listening to Nutty Bites.
It's time for Nutty Debate.
Hello, Mixed Nutcases. You are listening to another Nutty Debate, and we're going to debate the best way to get superpowers. Hopefully, I can stay in my own hangout. With me today, I have a lot of people, so I'm going to go alphabetically, or how the Google Hangout does it alphabetically. First, we have FaZe.
Say hello.
Hello.
Next, we have Rixie.
Hi. I lost my screen, but hi.
And then we have Ben.
Hello.
We have the Righteous Dude.
I am Clay, the Righteous Dude. Sans hat, but everything else is up and running.
Yeah, the Righteous Headphones.
The Righteous Headphones. Well, the Righteous Dude's hat does not fit on top of the headphones without looking even more silly than I normally do.
And we've got Doc.
Greetings, everyone. It's good to be here. Finally.
Finally. We have Hugh O'Donnell.
Hey, everyone. How's it going?
We have Mark Cabot.
Hey, everyone.
We have, that's me, we have Richard Green, a.k.a. Mainframe.
Greetings and salutations from the Peach State.
Hey.
And last but not least, we have Shane Poole.
Hello there.
Yay. Hey. So thank you, everyone, for coming. This was a last-minute hangout, and it turns out if I do a last-minute hangout, I get everybody. If I plan it ahead, nobody comes.
Can I just ask Shane briefly, Shane, do you have a beard?
Yes, I do.
Oh, good. Then every male member of this hangout is bearded.
Well, I've only got a little bit. I don't have a full beard.
That's all right. You'll grow up one day.
So it's the beard cast.
Yes. Nutty, you're not old enough to have a tash
yet. Wow, Doc's beard is moving.
Yes. My beard is extra friendly.
Yeah, like my cat's.
So let's begin. Before we begin, I'm going to read off an answer or some feedback from the reason why we're having a last-minute nutty debate. The reason being, Tech had to go to work today. So Tech, the clockwork doctor, writes in and says, well, I can't make the podcast debate. I have to go back to work. I will, however, add in this little tidbit if you feel like doing a listener feedback section. The methods of gaining superpowers have always been linked to societal issues of the time. In the 1930s, when rocket ships and outer space captured the imagination, most of the superpowers were alien in nature, or from some sort of cosmic ray. In the 50s and 60s, it was nuclear radiation of some kind, as the world was gripped by fear of the Cold War. As the Cold War ended and advances were made in medicine and science, the common delivery for superpowers became some sort of genetic mumbo-jumbo. Look at Spider-Man, for example. In the original, it was a radioactive spider that bit him, but in the last trilogy of movies, it was a genetically engineered spider. Even hordes of zombies are now being created by superviruses and not by voodoo magic, except for Weekend at Bernie's 2. I still say that movie was awesome. Shut up. And he says shut up because that movie was horrible.
My favorite way that superheroes get their powers, aliens. Therefore, aliens. Because we've retconned so many superheroes today that, no, it's not just they got bitten by something or, you know, science explains it. Aliens. Aliens is what makes everything so super powerful and such.
So today you're taking on the role of Fox Mulder. Aliens did everything.
Aliens. Yes, aliens.
Excellent. We're going to move on to Ben, your favorite way.
I would have to say my favorite way is the way that it happened in the video games Infamous, and that superpower via terrorist attack, where there's a bomb with some substance inside of it, and you accidentally get caught in the middle of that explosion with the odd substance inside of it, and that's what gives you your superpower.
That's a new one for me. Okay, Clay.
You know, I have to say that Bruce Banner's origin as the Hulk is the ultimate way to get a superpower. He survived a nuclear explosion. You know, there's not a whole lot of much more bad, you know what, than that. Bad
donkey.
Than that, you'll just have to believe it. You don't get any, you know, unless God himself touches you and goes, praying, you're powerful. I'm sorry. A nuke goes off. You walk away from it. Yeah, you know what? You can just, here's the keys to my car. Here's the wallet. You can have everything.
It worked for Doc Manhattan, too. You know, nuclear explosion.
No. Yeah,
all right. So we're going to move on to
Ground Zero. Banner was Grant. Well, or was he?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, see, there you go.
He's a little bit farther away.
Yeah. So now we're going to move on to Doc.
Okay. My favorite method for getting superpowers is actually one that Marvel started to edge upon during their whole mutant hysteria thing, and then they just kind of dropped it and moved in another direction. And that's the idea that everyone is born with them. That every single person on the planet has the potential to develop superpowers. It's just a question of, do you encounter something else in your life that causes your body to react so that these powers manifest? Whether it's psychological stress, which is why so many powers manifest when you're a teenager, or if you get caught in a stray nuclear explosion, get electrocuted, or whatever kind of event happens in your life that causes your body to kick into overdrive and pull on abilities that you never knew that you had before.
I will say that is one of my favorites as well. Excellent, excellent. Hugh?
I'd say that my favorite is getting superpowers via powerful agencies just giving you powers and saying, go do stuff for us. This can be supernatural, like Ghost Rider gets his powers from the devil. And then the devil says, oh, I've got work for you, by the way. But it doesn't have to be like Wolverine got his metal skeleton and then became working for the government. And I like them because they have the best sort of fodder to tell really good stories, I think.
Yep, absolutely. Mark?
I guess I have two real favorite ways of getting superpowers for different, very different reasons. Now, the first I'll mention really quick. The pure MacGuffin type of superpower where the writers kind of acknowledge that that how you gain the superpower is nothing more than a plot device. So it's going to be something kind of almost to the point where it's mundane and silly. I think they kind of did this in that recent British show. You turned me on to it there.
Misfits,
yeah, where they just kind of, they all get hit by lightning. They don't explain where the lightning came from. I don't think they ever do. It's just, yeah, lightning, boom, they got superpowers. And they all got different ones. But that's kind of interesting. That's kind of the non-acknowledgement. And my real favorite would have to be the self-imposed superpowers where you kind of have to build it and earn it yourself. If you would consider Batman, for instance, to have superpowers, not to the point where it's like Superman or anybody like that, even though they exist in the same universe, but he kind of went out and he earned it and he trained it and he got all that stuff on his own kind of thing. And that I kind of like.
Kind of like Iron Man building the suit.
Yeah, building the suit is an excellent example of that, or genetically modifying themselves, either by accident or on purpose.
Cool. Mainframe?
Gotta say that as a kid, the Captain Marvel method of being a kid, going into a cave in a subway, and all of a sudden, you say this one word, Shazam, boom, and you've got powers. That's kind of cool. Terrifying as all get out, but if you're a kid, that's got to be one of the coolest ways to get superpowers, I think.
Yes, I'm going to agree. Shazam is pretty awesome. Shane?
Indeed. I would say being a teenager with attitude, I'll go with the Power Rangers.
How did they get their powers?
Zords.
Yeah. Picked.
I thought they were given something that gave them powers. But.
Yeah, they had a medallion. They were gifted medallion. They were already good martial artists, and they were gifted with a medallion to make them fancy.
See, okay.
To make them marketable.
So it's 70s porn star powers?
I wouldn't know, but I would assume.
So, again, I say, FaZe, can you tell us your favorite way to get a superpower?
I was afraid somebody else would steal it since you'd gone through practically everyone else, but I like the stealing it from somebody else, either consciously or unconsciously, akin to, for example, the large electric shock transfer power in early Smallville, or down to possibly Rogue stealing additional powers from Miss Marvel. So basically, you get a superpowered individual, and either using a device you've constructed or through a meteorological accident akin to Misfits, you end up taking their powers, leaving them normal, and leaving you having to deal with it as an adult.
Nice. Very nice. Very nice. I'm going to throw mine out there, which I'm surprised nobody came up with. To every generation is born. You know, that certain people throughout a generation, there's a divine providence, a destiny, whatever. Case in point, Buffy the Vampire Slayer. There are a couple of comic books that have this as well. I can't think of the name right now, but I'm just going to go with this. I like the idea of, you know, every generation will get a certain amount of superheroes to help save us. And that I really like.
So it's basically the being the chosen one origin.
Yes, being the chosen one. Exactly.
Buffy specifically is a form of necrotransfer.
Yeah, actually.
As in, you only get your powers upon the death of the origin.
So these are all great ways to get powers. Does anyone think that, I don't know, theirs beats the rest of the groups?
Well, there was another one I was going to mention, but nobody had mentioned it. And it's very rare, and I think I've only seen it referenced once. And that's the universal balance kind of thing. And this was cited in the Unbreakable movie, where you get people who are born very, very, very fragile at one end of the spectrum. And just from the simplicity of statistics, you must have somebody on the opposite end of the spectrum who's just either incredibly lucky or kind of pseudo-unbreakable, as it were. That's kind of interesting.
I love that movie.
Didn't they use that with Xavier, suggesting that he had incredible mind powers, but, you know, he can't move around on his own feet? Isn't that kind of the similar idea?
Yeah, it's kind of a similar idea, I guess. It's kind of in a microcosm. It's kind of contained in one person. He has a kind of increased... I think Xavier got shafted in that way, because there's a lot of other people who got some pretty awesome powers but didn't have to give up anything for it.
Yeah. The thing with Magneto with Xavier is that he actually got stabbed in the back by an alien, which is why he's in a wheelchair.
Not originally.
He used to be able to walk.
I think it's the original story, it was his own personal guilt that his paralysis was purely psychological. You go back to the early 70s and the mid-70s, it wasn't physical, it was purely psychological. Because when they were trapped in the Savage Land, when he was traveling with Magneto, he could walk and climb and do everything because he had overcome it at that point.
It seems like every time they put Xavier back on his feet, people don't like it enough, and they have to do something to put him back in the wheelchair.
Yeah.
Well, the wheelchair is very iconic. Think of it.
TheNutGallery.com pledges to give you the best movie reviews. Reviews untainted by payoffs and unblemished by scandals. Listen to us before wasting your hard-earned money on a movie that sucks. Ah, yes. Truth, justice, and the American way. TheNutGallery.com.
The material located in this podcast may not be appropriate for all audiences. The reviews and the works being reviewed may contain obscenity, nudity, whining, inane remarks, political incorrectness, and references to drugs and alcohol.
I think what we have given our panel, we needed to acknowledge the power of the beard. Superpowers from the beard.
I think we should all rub up.
I know a friend of mine said for about 30 years, Robert De Niro's, how good a Robert De Niro film was depended on whether or not he had a beard. Now, I don't recall if he was good in the ones with a beard and bad in the ones without, or vice versa, but indication of the quality.
Just look at Riker on Star Trek. All of a sudden, the episodes got a lot better once he had a beard.
True.
This is true.
Although, according to Q, he was much more fun without the beard.
And Captain Sisko became much more intimidating.
This is true. Sisko is awesome with a beard.
And yet, Captain Picard, every time he had a beard, he was old and feeble and weak.
Not true. He had a beard when he went to Riza.
I thought, since we're mentioning DS9, we'll mention the show Ripped Off. I thought President Sheridan looked more sort of patriarchal with a beard.
He looked really good with a beard.
To be honest with you, To get Bruce to grow a beard, you had to actually kill his character.
Some people are meant to handle the power of the beard side, and some just aren't.
Here, all right, if you want to talk about the myth of the beard, notice that we've had a huge resurgence of the beard.
Mm-hmm.
So do you believe that the beard is, in a sense, allowing, you know, personal expression, or do you think men feel more confident with a beard?
Actually, in my case, I'm not allowed to shave it. I don't allow my boyfriend
either. So
it's actually a symbol of
weakness. I was off work. So I was off work with mental health issues. I had to obey the trope.
See, no, in my case, I'm actually rebelling against my my fiance right now by not shaving it. I'm supposed to always be shaved if it's up to her.
See, my wife, I shaved my beard once because I had something on my chin that wasn't healing, and my wife took one look at me after I shaved and said, "You're never doing that again."
Yeah. My boyfriend's bald, and when you take the goatee off, I'm sleeping with a different man. It scares the hell out of me.
If I had the choice, Tech would always have his goatee, but unfortunately, the army gets to make that decision.
Yeah.
You know, there's two schools of thought here. There's one that's, oh, the beard really suits you. And then there's the other school of thought where they're really just saying, you know, you got to cover up all of this.
And hence the reason for my beard. Okay.
Well, it's nice if you appear to have a chin.
But this brings up a good point.
How many chins isn't an issue? It's multiple chins.
How many of the superheroes have beards? I mean, besides, and Tony Stark doesn't really count.
That's a good question.
Superman what is that be?
Well, the new Thor yes. has a beard, but that's only in the movie. In the comic books, he never really had a beard, as far as I'm aware.
Thor has had a beard in the comic books, but it doesn't tend to last for long. I don't know what it is that you know, but he's gone
well,
all.
Well, that's because they have to pay the liners extra for doing the beard, right?
Maybe.
Well, normally
drawing it
in the comics. Normally, whenever one of the heroes has a beard, it's because he's been away, he's been down, he's been dead, he's been sick,
right?
He's been on an island, traveling through time.
Not a hero, and for some reason, the beard is the symbol of him being downtrodden or something, and it should be the other way around. I think.
Or even.
Well, it does.
Let's not forget the beard equals evil alternate universe trope.
I thought that was the goatee.
He's right. It is the goatee.
Yeah,
it is
the Star Trek alternate universe is really what solidified that.
I've found a post on IGN, and it's the best superhero beards. So we've got Solid Snake Punisher, Kingpin Daredevil, Ralph Dibny, Mayor of Bummertown. I don't know this one.
Socio-political Avenger Green Arrow. Okay, so one of the Green Arrows had a beard.
Yeah, one of the Green Arrows had a beard.
Oh, cool. Hmm. Harpoon Hand Aquaman. One of the Aquamen had a beard.
Yep.
That's pretty cool.
He lost one hand. He didn't shave too well after that.
Although he did have a blade on his hand, he could shave.
Yeah, he could have used the harpoon.
It's easier.
Hippie Thor. Soul Patch Wolverine. Oh, I don't like Soul Patch Wolverine. He's got to have the full... Wolverine counts, by the way, I would say, even though it doesn't come fully to his chin.
Chops.
His mutton chops are big enough to be a beard.
Yeah, mutton chops are not a beard. That's a different thing. Isaac Asimov never had a beard, but boy, did he have some chops.
At one point, Captain America was a wolf? Cap Wolf?
Yes.
Huh. Okay.
Very well.
I don't remember that one.
The 70s happened. It was a time...
There are times when the Joker has a beard, it's not a good look. So Zach Mann brought up over Twitter the idea of facial hair being part of your superpower, case in point, Samson.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like people to tell me the worst way one could gain superpowers, the dishonorable mentions. Who'd like to go first?
I can try. Also, somebody asked to sell it to me at a microphone, so I thought I'd jump in while I had the opportunity. Me being evil. Once I get Mass Effect, I intend to take the fully evil path. But I suppose killing a loved one.
Ooh, that's pretty brutal. That's pretty brutal. Anyone else? Worst way to get a superpower?
I've never been fond of the scientifically immediately disproven theories. Like most of the Golden Age science heroes, particularly the Flash, who got his powers from hard water.
Well, I don't know. I think the almost dying and having the government force it on you is just not a good way to do it.
We can rebuild him.
Whether he wants us to or not.
Now, if you're talking about dying, the Spectre has probably got the worst. You die, then you have this job of invoking vengeance on the bad guys, but you're dead. That just really can't be a good thing, you know. There's really no off time from being dead and having to invoke vengeance against evildoers, you know. It's just no holidays. No
weekend.
Now, I will say one of the worst superpowers, what was that movie? But anyway, the guy whose superpower was to be invisible if nobody looked at him.
That was Mystery Men, yes. And we covered that in our lame superpowers debate.
Yeah.
It was pretty good.
To think you have a superpower and not really have one and not really be sure if you have one, that's got to be kind of up there.
Listen, I have a gift. I shovel well.
Maybe you're the best shoveler I've ever met.
I hate it when they use the whole, they have tons of money, infinite resources, they can build a suit, they can, you know, train with the secret masters of that sort of thing when they get their superpowers, because they're a synthesis of all this opportunity to become a superhero. And it's like, well, there's tons of people out there who can, you know, have infinite resources, have this infinite time and infinite ability to be able to learn things, and then they become superheroes. It's like, really?
Money, okay. Money is the best superpower.
I love Tony Stark. I love Batman. I love those characters because they also are very human. But
coming to Tony Stark's defense, though, he's also a genius. I think that's really where his superpower lies.
He's also an alcoholic with a bad heart.
God-moded character.
I thought his superpower was picking up women.
But there is a difference between being the guy who's got a ton of money and pays somebody else to develop superpowers for him, and having a ton of money because you're a frippin' genius and you can figure out the technology and build this stuff for yourself.
So there's a difference between Tony Stark and having Lucius Fox on your side.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was going to say there's a difference between being Tony Stark and the Green Hornet.
Yeah. Yeah, pretty much.
That too.
So it generally sounds like it's the consensus of the group that one of the worst ways to gain superpowers is to be drafted. Because we've talked about a number of things that either your government, some scientist who needed a dead body for an experiment, some divine or unholy creature needed a plaything on Earth, whatever. Something happens, somebody chose you against your will and says, I'm giving you these powers. You're now doing what I tell you to. Sucks.
So kind of like Spawn, let's say.
Yeah, I was thinking Spawn.
Bad way to get superpowers. Mm-hmm. You go to hell, you get superpowers, then you've got to go back and watch everyone you know, and but you can't interact with them.
Don't like what the way that Captain America got his superpowers, except for the fact that it was 1942 and everyone was drafted.
He volunteered.
Everybody got drafted.
Yeah.
He volunteered, though.
Yeah, that's true.
He fought hard in order to serve. He wanted to do it. He pulled every string he could find in order to do something for his country. That's different.
That is true. Yeah.
I mean, that's why making a pact with the devil to get superpowers is actually better than being drafted by the devil in order to do something.
Yeah.
Go to the TV show Reaper. It's like the kid didn't even have a choice. His parents made the pact with the devil. He just had to work off the debt.
That is a good point. That is a very good point.
And I think towards the end of that, it was turning out that he might have been, I'm going to say, spoiler alert, but the show has ended, so he was looking like he was going to be the son of the devil, perhaps. There was some teasing on that.
And I also wanted to bring up the Punisher, because seeing your entire family die and then becoming the superhero, not that he really had superpowers, is a pretty bad
thing. I don't know. He had a jumping van.
That goes into the realm of sucky reasons to go looking for superpowers, and having your entire family die in front of you, which happened to Bruce Wayne and happened to Frank Castle, you know, that's really sucky reason to get you started. But
in a way, Superman too.
That's true, except he was a baby at the time. Yeah. Didn't really pay much attention to it.
Except new members of the family kept popping up.
I'm the last survivor. Except for all of them.
Yeah. Everybody else.
And my dog.
Yes. The dog.
I have to say, oh, there she's gone back. Definitely an excellent role for James Masters as Brainiac.
If you've gotten that far into Smallville. But you definitely have to give it to Batman and to the Punisher for obsessive training as a method of developing powers.
Yeah.
Yeah, although to be fair, the Castle had already had the training. He just used what he already had. Because he was ex-military. Bruce Wayne actually had to start from scratch to do it.
Yeah.
So I'm suddenly getting the idea that imagine Frank Castle with Liam Neeson's character from Taken. How cool, put them together. How cool would that be?
Well, isn't that Rambo?
I thought you were going to go, imagine Frank Castle had been the student of Ra's al Ghul.
The one thing I kind of wonder about, though, is now I don't have any specific examples that we could use. There might be some, but I can't think of any. Has there been any superheroes that have come up where their parents have died as a result of them getting their superpowers, where they've, for example, killed their parents by accident when they got their superpowers?
Superboy killed the Kents by accident in the 70s.
Okay.
That wasn't as a result of getting his powers, but it was as a result of having his powers.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Because the only other example I can kind of think of, and it's not entirely superpowers, it's magic, but in Mike Cole's Control Point, he essentially killed his father because of his new powers that the main character got in that book. And that was magic. It wasn't really superpowers, but it's, you know, same kind of line is what I'm thinking. And that is certainly an interesting thing to have happen that definitely puts sort of an emotional spin on the origin story.
The little girl in Joss Whedon's Astonishing X-Men, she never really becomes like a superhero, but her mutant power killed her parents.
So, there is definitely a long history of tragedy in the wake of superpowers manifesting. I mean, like for Rogue, it was the boy that she was in love with that she basically put him in a coma for the rest of his life.
Yeah.
There was a character we were talking about, Nutty, when you were on my show not too long ago, and you were just about to mention it, weren't you? The boy who, just from being within a certain range of him, you died. That was his superpower. He would just kill anybody within a certain radius. They just dropped dead. And I think Wolverine was the only one who can get close enough to basically assassinate the kid. We kind of wondered why, you know, somebody who just somebody with similar powers to Wolverine that could fly just didn't take this kid and do a few trips around the planet and solve everything once
just
and for all.
Shoot him from across the street.
The reason why is called Riders. We all know them or have been them, and we know what they do to their characters.
Also known as the darkest storyline ever.
Did we ever remember what the name of that kid was? I don't think we knew it during the time of the recording of our show.
We found it out.
I think they topped themselves when they made Professor Xavier a drug dealer.
Wait, what?
I missed that.
What?
Yeah. Damn,
it was
that
terrible. It was a really bad comic, and I stopped reading for a while after that.
Oh. Was he dealing to his own students?
Yes. It was Ultimate X-Men.
Oh, Ultimate Universe,
the
no wonder.
Ultimate Score.
Ultimate Ecstasy X-Men.
What?
Yeah.
That makes sense.
The Ultimate Spider-Man.
This isn't Canadian, this is an American podcast, because they're bleeping out swear words, but not drug use or sex references.
There she goes, she's back.
Don't ask us.
Hey,
the one who's producing.
Nutty, we didn't say porn.
Not yet.
There she goes.
Oh, there she goes.
No, I'm still here. I'm just laughing while muted.
Now, so, what y'all meant about the talk about the drugs, back in the Golden Age, there were a number of characters that got their superpowers from drugs.
Well, Captain America.
And there were some like Our Man at one point had to take drugs and, you know, he had to take this pill to have powers for an hour. Go ahead.
No, go ahead, Richard. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Later, they retconned that to where that actually became a problem. I think it was back in the 80s. But there were tons of superheroes back in the 40s that got their powers from drugs. And
you reminded me of the dumbest one of all time. You reminded me of the dumbest. What was his name? Johnny Lightning, who would say a mathematical formula, and all of a sudden he could go real fast.
That was Johnny Thunder.
Johnny Thunder. That's it. Yeah. And he could run, but he couldn't continue his speed. He'd just have a burst, and it was all momentum. And I'm thinking, wouldn't he, like, ignite? When, you know, it's like, okay, boom, boom, he's gone. That's the shortest-lived hero of all time.
Next!
I'm reminded. Talking about using drugs to have your powers, you had Hank Pym back when he was Ant-Man, then when he was Giant-Man, he was basically taking growth and shrinking formulas alternatively until it did such a bad number on his body he couldn't do it anymore.
Yeah, and those are fumes. He was like huffing this stuff.
Yeah.
I'm suddenly reminded of my secret identity. Aerosol cans. That has got to be one of the worst ways to get superpowers. Not only is it true aerosol cans, but you've ruined the ozone layer.
those were actually cans of compressed air, because one of his superpowers was that he was as light as air. So when he would spray those cans, it gave him enough lift to take off. Just don't mind the fact that he never floated off into space when going up the stairs or anything like that. And he always seemed to have normal weight at every other point, unless it was convenient for him and he used a spray can. But
it did give us Jerry O'Connell. Okay,
So double-edged sword.
Can I throw in an honorable random mention here in terms of sort of a combination of a gift and suit? Earthworm Jim.
Okay. Earthworm Jim. Mm-hmm. Speaking of suit, Greatest American Hero. He just found the suit. He didn't decide. He's like, what is this? Puts it on. Oh my gosh, I got superpowers.
No, he was given the suit, and he was chosen by aliens to do great things on the planet Earth, and he promptly lost the instruction manual.
Now, speaking of aliens, not all aliens got superpower. Not all people got superpower from aliens. Yeah, the Martian Manhunter. There he is. He's on Mars. He's just hanging out. And all of a sudden, he just gets teleported to 1950s Earth. And it's like, what? Can you get me back? No. And then the guy dies.
Good luck.
Of course, he was also another sole survivor, except for those over there.
Yep. Sole survivor, except for the others.
Yeah.
All aliens have awesome powers in the DC universe. That's one of the problems.
And they're all evil in the Marvel universe.
We fire from our eyes. We just do that on this planet.
Well, and you got John Carter. That's kind of the opposite. John Carter. He's you know, Civil War era. He's hanging around Earth. Boom! Somebody throws him to Mars. You know,
and he's got superpowers. Yeah. I love John Carter. Go.
No, I was just thinking, John Carter, the recent movie, I thought they were explaining away the super jumping through purely physics and light of gravity, and I'm sitting there, I'm just pissing myself laughing in the cinema. They attempted to use physics to explain the fact that they could do Origin Superman level jumping.
Well, that was the original idea in the original in the original writing. And in fact, in the original stories, he had trouble walking at first. He had to get the hang of walking because he'd go to take a step and he'd go tumbling head over heels across the Martian landscape.
Yeah.
Of course, this is the guy who gave you Tarzan. So, I mean, you know, pumping up somebody's power, you know, strength level wasn't really unknown to him. So.
Hey, it's 100-year-old sci-fi. Give him a break.
We're going to wrap this up. Is there anything anybody wants to say before we all pimp our whatever we need to pimp?
Walk out of a nuclear explosion. That's the best.
Or the worst. You know, it could be either one.
Don't go looking for nuclear explosions.
Don't go causing them just to get
I will admit that. Walk out if you are completely unfazed. Otherwise, hope that your death is quick.
Can I give an honorable mention to
Yes, please.
To Arnold J. Rimmer from Red Dwarf? Because even though he might be already dead, in Series 6...
Spoilers. Heath and Angela, turn the podcast off now. Spoilers.
He gets a hard right B. And from then on in, he's indestructible.
Yep.
So we now need to tell your co-hosts that they can't listen to this show.
Likewise.
Only for about 3 or 4 weeks.
Shane, I will give you one better than Ace Rimmer. I mean, than Arnold Rimmer.
Okay.
Rather, Ace Rimmer.
Yeah, but does he...
good at everything.
Yeah, but I can't really call that a superpower, though.
Sure it is.
He worked at it.
Hey, if Batman's got superpowers...
It is for Rimmer.
Well, that's true. Definitely.
Exactly. So we're going to go around, and I want everyone to tell us what you're working on, how people can find you on the internet, and so forth. This time, we're going to start with Shane.
I'm one of the co-hosts of the Red Dwarf Introcast. Going week by week, we get two fans who've seen the show and know it backwards, and we have two people who've never seen the show. And at the moment, we have just done Terraform, the third episode, I should say, of Series 5. You can follow us on Twitter at Red Dwarf Intro, and find us on Facebook. Just search for the Red Dwarf Introcast.
Excellent. And Mainframe, do you have anything to plug?
Well, I actually did an interview for my on hiatus Geek Out with Mainframe. So hopefully in the next couple of weeks, I'll have a new episode.
Who did you interview?
J.R. Blackwell.
Awesome.
And then you'll be able to come out of hiatus.
Yeah, about time. So, Mark, can you please tell us what you're working on?
I am the host of a show called Epic, which is both a radio show. Yes, we decided to bring our character to. It's both a radio show and a podcast. We have Nadia on as a co-host most of our episodes now. I think she's managed. I think we brought her in as a filler once and she never left. So,
Unlike this hangout.
That sounds familiar.
Matter of fact, I think for our next intro sketch, we'll just have her like drop out mid-sentence and say that her bandwidth is bad. So recently, in the recent months, we had some interviews with Anna Silk of Lost Girl and Robert Maya of such things as Sherlock Holmes, The Pacific Rim, which he's in coming up, and The Big Bang, which is a movie he was in you might not have heard of.
300, awesome. Get Smart.
300, and Get Smart, et cetera, et cetera. WWE. And he was also Kurgan on WWF way back in the day.
All right, you pimp yourself.
Okay, is it safe?
Well, for you, yes.
I'm the host and editor of the Way of the Buffalo podcast, which features short fiction and interviews with artists, musicians, writers, and podcasters. And we are coming back from hiatus on March 1st.
That's where I know your voice from. Dang it, I was trying to place you.
But now I'm going to have Doc pimp himself.
Okay, I'm doing so many things, this is going to take a while, so sit back and relax, Nutty. I've got a lot of projects in the works. One of the best ways to find my stuff is to go to www.docholman.com.
Again.
From there, you will find links to the Nifty Tech blog, where I talk about all kinds of fun consumer tech. You can find a link to the Shrinking Man Project, where I talk about my ongoing weight loss and ways that you can overcome pitfalls in losing weight for yourself. And you can go to Swimming Cat Studios, where I talk about my writing, voice work that I'm doing, and all kinds of other fun things that catch my mind. You can also find me just about every week at the Galley Table podcast, where I am the Galley Table stowaway. I'm the guest that came in episode 2 and never went away. Let's see. Recently, I completed my short story for Scott Roche's The Way of the Gun anthology, and I've gotten some quick edits back this morning, but we're moving ahead with that, and that about wraps it up for right now.
Don't forget the voice work.
He mentioned it.
I'm trying to do voice work. I don't have anything in process right now, but I'm hopefully I'm going to record and Great voice work, yeah.
That's a good ad there, Doc. I love that. Put it on your audio resume.
Actually, in Galley Table, I screw up my own pipping every single damn time. I'm going to do an audition for a novel on ACX, and hopefully I will get the gig and start doing voice narrations.
And for those of you listening at home, underneath Doc Coleman's name, it says future famous author, which I find hysterical. All right, Clay, plug away.
Optimistic.
Another long list here. Hope you can stay with us, Nutty. I am Clay. I am the Righteous Dude. I have a podcast called The Righteous Dude's Dudecast at therighteousdude.wordpress.com. Richard Green Mainframe has actually been on there and generated a show in response to something else I did. So he's a contributor to the show several times. I do Christian commentary from my point of view of what I think the Bible says a Christian ought to be. And I also am now doing geek culture interviews here about town in San Antonio, and I'm going to start spreading out to Austin and Houston and some other places. And that content's a little bit more fun to generate, so I think in a year or two it won't even be any Christian content. It'll just be geek stuff. And I'm very blessed in town to be able to interview celebrities at the Comic-Con and things like that here. I also do a audio fiction podcast called, under the name Must Be Nice Studios. It's at mustbenice.podomatic.com. I hope it's not mustbenicestudios.podomatic.com. I don't remember the website. Right now I have one show up. I have two short shows that are in production that will be going up soon. Full audio drama. I am going to be trying to go to ACX like Doc, but I'm going to be trying to go under production, not for narration, because I don't have the voice for narration. And what else? Gee whiz. I do a podcast with my wife on the Chronic Rift Network called This and That with Him and Her, and we are woefully behind on that. I do some voice work on some audio dramas here and there. I am, as I call myself, the internet's favorite red shirt because I can't seem to stay alive long enough to be in multiple episodes. I've been on Harry Strange, Paranormal Investigator Season 1, where I died twice. I've been on Harry Strange Season 2, where I died once. I've been on Starship Excelsior so far two or three times, and I've died each. I actually made it to Captain, and the whole ship exploded. Episode 309 coming out, the season finale, I'm on there in two parts, and I think both of them die. So, I am the internet's favorite red shirt. I love it. It's fun. I actually was on a podcast. The podcast died. So on an audio drama and it died. So I can't win. I've done some work for the Noon Steef. I've had a story up there. I've done some audio production for them. I do write. I do audio convert. I do everything. I just don't have enough time to do it all.
All right, you're done. I'm cutting you off. Ben, is there any projects you'd like to plug?
Yes, I've got my podcast, Reader Writer. I'm co-host of that. My other host is my mother, which is really fun to do. We've just recently, actually just yesterday as we're recording this, just put up an interview with Mike Cole. And on the 21st, we'll be putting up a recording of a panel from Confusion, Michigan. And that'll have Jim Hines and Kat Howard and Mike Cole and Cindy Spencer-Pape. And forget the last person's name. I apologize to them ahead of time. That's at readerwriter.ca.
Awesome. And love that it's .ca, by the way. And Rixie, do you have anything you want to plug? Or just tell everyone how cool you are?
I'm just a lowly public school teacher teaching math and trying to survive with class sizes that are insane. So I'm fine.
Thank you. Lowly is not the word I would use for public.
No.
Which means you're smart and you work harder than everybody else.
Yeah.
No, I'm trying to get back into my writing, as you know, that I used to do, but right now it's just focus on getting math, making sure the kids are, you know, getting educated and having fun with old friends.
Excellent. And for all of the listeners, just an idea, Rixie is the one who introduced me to Twitter and Facebook.
It's her fault. Dun, dun.
It's all her fault.
And hence why I've been making her get off this, bumping her off this cast.
Yes, exactly. And FaZe, could you please pimp your podcasters?
You haven't dropped out in ages. I'm nervous now. I am co-host and initiator of the Gatecast. We're currently, we sort of MST3K Stargate episode by episode. Well, although Mike argues that MST3K has something we don't have, i.e. a budget and a script. Which is that we're currently halfway through season 8 of SG-1 and season 1 of SGA. Yeah, we'll be gone for a while. I will also, for those of you who might want to actually physically meet me in the flesh, as it were, I will be at Phoenix Comic Con for the B5 Gathering Labor Day weekend this year. And I do have an Amanda Tapping photo op, and no, none of you can share it. She's mine. But you can see us at www.gatecast.co.uk. We're on Google+. We are The Gatecast on Facebook, and we're at The Gatecast on Twitter. I also try and whore myself on every other podcast I can squeeze my way into.
All right. Thank you, everyone, for joining me. This was awesome. Yeah, we're going to say goodbye. Thank you for joining us. Everyone say goodbye.
Goodbye.
Bye. See you at Balticon.
Balticon!
Balticon!
You know what's really wrong with Joss Whedon's television shows? They end. Fortunately, Strangely Literal, a Whedonverse fanfic podcast, is there to catch you when you find yourself lost and alone after a series finale. Find Buffy, Captain Mal, and all your favorites at http://www.strangelyliteral.com or search for it in iTunes. Netty Bites is produced by Nimlas Studios. You can find us at nimlas.org/blog. Contact feedback at nettybites@nimlas.org. Call our voicemail line at 347-NUTTY-42 or 347-688-8942. This work is licensed under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives 3.0 Unported License. Basically, you can share it, you can send it around to your friends, just don't change it, don't sell it, don't try to make any money off of it, and link back to me, my site, and everything.